as we've sought the Lord together as a church, in prayer bases, individually. And our theme, our topic, day after day through these 7 days has been hunger for God. And I just sense that God has been at work in, I know he's been at work in my life. I've talked with Joe about things that God has been speaking to me about. And I am convinced that God has been working in our hearts as we have been hungering for him. Before we move on from this, I just want to encourage you to stay in this place. I don't necessarily mean keep fasting, you know, for the rest of your life, but keep hungering for God. I think it's something that we should not stop. Every day, there should be this hunger for him. What I'd like to do before we go on to just look at some notes and to pray again in a few moments, I'd like to give everyone here an opportunity to just share something of a testimony of what God has spoken to you, worked in your heart, in your life, as you've been meeting with him in this time of prayer and hungering for him. So this is your opportunity for testimonies. I haven't spoken to anybody. I haven't prepared anybody. I haven't said, would you be ready? But this is, I think, a wonderful chance for us to do two things, three things. One, speak out what God has done. That always solidifies those things that he has worked in us when we confess. Two, we can encourage others. We can lift one another up. We can spur one another on as we tell each other what God has done for us. And the third thing which I think this does is that it keeps that fire burning in us as we constantly remind ourselves of God and his works in us. So who would like to share a testimony of what God has spoken or done in your heart, in your life this week? You'd like to. You have to be nice and loud. Okay. Do you want to come and stand here so you can face?
Okay. Yes. This week, I had, actually the past 2 weeks, I've had a lot of extra time at school because my kids are on vacation. And a week ago, that was my first week at school. I didn't have much to do, didn't have any lesson planning. And I started to get angry because I like to have purpose in what I'm doing. And I figured I'm not at school doing anything. I've started planning things. I'm frustrated. Why do I have all this free time? And so I just started praying about it. And God put on my heart this week, the fasting. I didn't even think I was going to do the fasting, but I just decided I needed to get closer to him. And so this week at work, I actually prayed a lot, and I think it was for God to draw closer to me. And I didn't see that, but I started every morning. I would eat at home. I fasted my lunch. So I'd come to work. I had already eaten, and I'd start off in prayer and then going online and looking at the verses. And I just felt God, you know, speaking to me, drawing closer to me, and him showing me where I can change things in my life to be a blessing to others. And since I've been in Korea, I've missed the U.S. a lot, but I've been blessed to have plenty of friends and to be able to just make my home here and always be blessed and always have things to be thankful for. And sometimes I think, oh, woe is me. My friends are leaving, but God has reminded me of putting more friends in your life, and you have to change things so that you can be a positive influence on other people. And I've blessed you so that you can bless others. So this week I had two friends. One was having a terrible time, and I talked to her, and I just felt so blessed that I could help her through her problems, and I felt more blessed in giving than I do in receiving. And so I thank God for this closeness and this time that I've had for him, and it's just reminded me that I need to give myself to him more and stop being so selfish to myself and just make more time for him so that his glory can be shown through me.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
Last week, I had my medical health checkup. So the past years, I've always done my medical health checkup. They always tell me I'm anemic. I don't like meat. So as a result, I tend to eat more, try to eat more vegetarian foods. So it has always bothered me because I tend to be a lot sleepy. And, you know, I like sports. It also makes me very weak. So I've prayed about this. And then yesterday, the hospital called me to get my medical results. And for the first time, I'm okay. My iron levels are okay. And I really thank God about that. My energy levels are quite good now. I really praise God for that.
Amen. Wow. Goodness knows what you'll be doing. You low energy levels and you run a marathon. What do you do when your energy levels are high, hey? Andre, you have something to share?
Well, yeah. I just wanted to share that I've been blessed by this community of believers. Well, especially Sergei giving me a ride home after prayer last night and last week as well. Mm. I just want to thank you as a community of believers for praying for me and being there with me as I heal.
Amen. Praise God. I love you, Andre. Anybody else? I know that a lot of what the Lord does is deep down in there and sometimes very, very personal, and it's not always appropriate to share. Appreciate that. Anybody else just want to take the opportunity to encourage us? And then Jess.
I think I got so much from God this week that I haven't even realized what all he's told me. But one thing that kept coming back every day, no matter what the topic was or no matter what was written on the website, the same message came to me every day. And that was just that how much God loves me. And I'm a very, very fearful person. I'm actually really shaky right now. I have a lot of fear. And God just kept telling me all week that no matter how much fear I have, his love is greater. And no matter how low my feeling is, he's there. I can't get so low that he won't come down and pick me up. And I just really thank God for bringing me to that place where I can say, okay, I have fear. And I'm not afraid to admit that I'm afraid. And it's okay. And just how much he loves me. And I think that's helped me so much to be ready to keep growing. That's all.
Yeah, that's life-changing. Wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else? So Jess was fearful and still was able to come up and talk. Praise God for all that he's doing. And I believe that his desire is to continue. One of the mistakes that sometimes is made when we have a focused time of anything to do with God, worship or prayer, is that we think God is going to work in that period of time and then it kind of stops. But God wants to continue. I believe when he draws us to these places and these times of prayer with fasting, that it is, in a sense, to kind of get our attention, but not just for that period of time and not just to do a work in those few days and then it goes back to how it was, but that he can show us that he continually wants to work these things, continually wants to dispel fear with his great love, continually wants to work healing in our bodies and a sense of his presence with us even when people around us are not there or to the place where we can help them or whatever the experience is. So I really want to encourage you, in whatever way you do it, please keep hungering after God. Please keep expecting Him to work in your lives. We're going to be holding 3 more prayer and fasting times during this year, evenly broken throughout the year. So it's not too long to wait in between. But in between those, let's keep these things, these habits going, this hungering for God. There's just a few thoughts that I'd like to share with you and some verses before we take things into prayer. I've been thinking a lot this week about the message that Pastor Jack brought last Sunday. If you missed that, maybe you were unable to get to the service or you were serving in one area of ministry, I'd really recommend that you take time to listen to the podcast on the website. Now, I know we say these things regularly and we mean them, but I feel that this was so relevant to what God was wanting to work and say to us through this week and on. Pastor Jack talked about the glory of God, how that it is the purpose and the will of God that His glory should be seen through us, the church, in order to bring people to God, to Him. That it would be, I don't think he used this term, like a magnetic power as it is revealed and seen through us, His people. So it doesn't draw people to us, but draws people to God. That's His glory. That's the purpose. And as Pastor Jack said, it is and has been forever the purpose of God that His glory should be revealed through us, His people. And in this, and linking that together with our theme, hunger for God, I've been thinking through the week as I've been thinking about our prayer time tonight, what would be a good way to seal these things in the Spirit. And I sense that the Lord was saying that we need to be conscious of what the ultimate reason is that we should hunger for Him. Yes, that we should be filled, that we should have all of our needs met, etc. But more than that, that out of this filling of God, of Jesus, the bread of life, as we are filled, so there should be action. And that action, of course, is that our hearts are drawn more speedily to Him, that He more frequently becomes our all in all. But beyond that even, beyond just us, our needs, our wants. We sang, "You're all I want, you're all I need." My friends, the truth is, He is all this world needs as well. And I pray that from this renewed place of hunger for God, we will not just be satisfied with what He has done and given to us, but that that hunger will stir us up, as I believe it should, to put into action those things that God really has commissioned us to do. It's no new message. It's nothing dynamically unusual. It is the message that we preach here at the Nations all the time. But I feel that it's a point that the Lord would have us to think about and to pray on. That these things that God has done for us, what are they for? They're not just to bless us. I believe they are to stimulate us to become conscious that as much as we need God to fill us, so there are people in our apartment blocks, at our place of work, in our families, our homes maybe. There are people around this globe who really do not know how to be filled with God, with Jesus, never heard of Him. And it must be our response, I believe, out of that fullness, to dedicate ourselves, to take of God, to these people. Verses that really came into my heart as I was thinking about this. Very, very frequently read ones. And they're ones that perhaps we are familiar with from Acts chapter 1. Jesus has died. He has been raised from the dead. And the Bible says that Jesus instructed them before he ascended. He instructed them to stay in Jerusalem because they were going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, which was a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together in prayer. Maybe we could say they hungered for God. They hungered for Jesus, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And we, if you read the rest of Acts 1, you'll find that that they then elect or allow God to show them who should be the number 12 in the team, the disciple to replace Judas Iscariot. Then Acts chapter 2 goes on to say, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All together in one place. What were they doing? Seeking God. They were doing what Jesus had told them to do, waiting to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, most of them, many of them, all of them. They were together, seeking God, doing what Jesus had told them to do, which was to wait for this infilling. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia." Suwon would be much easier, wouldn't it? "Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Picture again, Jesus said, wait. The disciples waited together, seeking God. The promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came upon them, gave them languages, other languages to speak. And what they spoke was not, "My goodness, it's cold today." Or, "What do you really think was happening with Jesus?" They spoke, they declared the wonders of God. Amazed and perplexed, they said to one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." As we hunger after God, as we follow his ways, as we pursue his purposes for us, some people will say, "You're nuts. It's okay." Some will say, "You're a crazy fanatic." That's okay. Peter stood up. Peter was one that never missed an opportunity to preach. He stood up, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, I know that doesn't necessarily mean that some people don't get drunk. But in that context, it did. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter goes on to quote that portion of scripture from the prophet Joel, and he begins to preach about Jesus Christ. Can you see the picture? Jesus said, wait, you'll be filled. They came together, they waited, the Holy Spirit came and filled them. They were instantly and able to speak in tongues, other languages, and they spoke about the wondrous works of Jesus, of God. Peter takes the opportunity to preach the gospel. Can you see this pattern that's unfolding? They were waiting to be filled. They were hungry. And the idea was not just that they be filled with the Holy Spirit for them. No, in fact, the first thing that happened was that God used them to speak to those that had were visiting Jerusalem from all around the known world. The first thing. Now, that's got to say something pretty forceful and loud to us about the purposes and reasons why God is so intent on filling us with his presence. Yes, we get blessed, but in some ways that's almost a byproduct. And I think sometimes we have it the wrong way round. We seek to be filled so that the overflow can go on to other people. I think God wants it so that we get filled mainly so that we can be a blessing to others. And in a sense, the byproduct, that's not a good word, but the result for us is that we are unbelievably blessed. And this is what happened with these disciples. So he wraps his preach up. He closes it, concludes it. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Help! They were convicted of their need of Jesus as their Savior. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, just when you think Peter is closing, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. Listen, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day. Wow. Can that happen today? Absolutely. Absolutely. It happened because they were hungry, they waited, they were filled, and instantly took and used and deposited what God filled them with for the purpose of what? Making a nice little comfortable, cozy, social church? No. For going out and witnessing about Jesus. That's what they were filled with the Holy Spirit for. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This hunger had caused them to be filled with the power of God, and God was working signs and wonders through them. Has he stopped wanting to do that? No. No. God still wants to demonstrate his power to this world. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. How often? Every day. They were hungry. The reason they did it was not because they had been so personally blessed themselves. They weren't walking around with bags full of God's blessings and saying, look how rich we are. So let's keep going to church every day. They did it because they saw the impact that the indwelling and outworking power of God had on those that they spoke to and witnessed about Jesus. And they had the same hunger as God, which was that souls should be saved. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were becoming rich and fat with the blessings of God. Is that what it says? No. Those who were being saved were being added. Did I have any more verses? I didn't think so. Just really pray that God would stir us in this way. That he would show us by his grace that the fullness that he gives us is for the very purpose of bringing the glory of God to our world. Isn't that the reason that he blesses us with anything? Hasn't it always been that way? Lauren kind of quoted the scripture where God spoke about Abraham and he said, I've blessed you. I've blessed you. Are we blessed? The Bible says in Ephesians 1, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. We are blessed. Why are we blessed? Abraham was blessed so that he could be a blessing. I see it this way. Our lives are not meant to be savings accounts. They're meant to be current accounts. You know the difference? There's a flow. Constant power. Constant freshness. The Bible says that those that sow generously will reap generously. It says in Proverbs, there's one who sows, who gives away, who has never ever experienced lack. But there's one who holds to themselves and they're without. What God intends is that as we are filled with him, that we are a channel, a conduit. We're looking for those opportunities that God would give us, that the glory of God could touch those people's lives, and that this hunger would be a hunger for action. Action. We're not savings accounts, we're current accounts. Will we ever be in lack or debt? No. Because as we give, God will pour back. As God gives and we give out, so God will make sure that we're never, ever empty, as long as we hunger for him. One of the things I just want to share very briefly that God has spoken to my heart is concerning my utmost need for his presence and his anointing. Without it, I'm conscious that I feel like I'm naked. With it, it feels like I'm clothed with the glory of God itself. And the things that God has given us to do, my friends, we need to be clothed with his anointing. When we're naked, we can feel shameful. Pastor Jack spoke about this on Sunday. When we haven't got the glory of God, when we haven't hungered for it and been filled with it, isn't it true other things can come in? Our minds, our visions, our desires can wander. They can become focused on other things. The clarity of God's word gets misty and foggy. And instead of believing God will heal Elizabeth, as you said, prayed. We wonder, we hope, we wish. But when we're filled constantly with the presence of that bread of life, oh, there's never any doubt. Because we have that full assurance of who God is, who Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Healer, our Lord is. And my, we are energized with the power of heaven to do the works that God has given us. Amen. Can we take some time just to pray this as we conclude our prayer with fasting this week? Just really crying out to God that He would show us His purposes. Why He would desire for us to be filled with Himself. That He would show us the need around us. And I would say, pray this, Lord, who are those people? Who are those people that are in my life? Who are they, Lord? That as I hunger to be filled, and as Your beautiful presence fills me, so I can take of that glory and I can give it. Jesus said that if we come to Him and drink of His living water, we will never thirst, but rather within us will become a fountain of living water. Oh, that pours out and touches this world that needs it so much, this thirsty, this hungry world. Oh, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be the conduit for God's glory. Let's take our time that we have remaining just crying out to God that He would work these things in our hearts. It may be that in those conversations, in those prayers, we need to repent and we need to say, sorry, God, that I've been so selfish. I've desired to be filled only for me. That's a great conversation to have. Maybe that fire that we sung of earlier used to burn within our hearts, but something has caused that to die down. You know, the Holy Spirit will fan that into life and give us a vision again of God's purposes for us. Let's pray together.